So good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for attending this talk. Today I'll be presenting my work on multivariate polyphase DSP and LMS calibration schemes for oversample data conversion systems. And this work has been done at University of Washington, Seattle, with my colleagues Yi Tang, Kongwei Chang, Jayanand Paramesh, and my advisor, Professor David Elstad. So as a motivation of my talk, I'll present why do we need digitally assisted analog circuits? What's the role of DSP algorithms for the analog circuits in there? And we'll go with a brief overview of the ADC topology that we have selected, which in this case will be a sigma delta ADC architecture. Then we'll propose a low-gain LMS calibrated analog front end, and then after that we'll look into the digital backend DSP algorithm, which uses a multivariate LMS decimation filter. And finally we'll conclude. So as we go into more and more sub-nanometer processes, silicon processes, we find that a life of an analog designer is becoming harder and harder, because for even simpler blocks like operational amplifiers, you find that the voltages are shrinking, your swings are reducing, and so the challenges are becoming higher and higher to reach higher gain. At the same time, for a digital designer, it's becoming relatively easier. You have much higher sampling speeds, and it can be that you can really now achieve wider bandwidths. So that's the basic motivation for this work, is to use a co-design approach to use the digital DSP algorithms to correct the analog perfections that we have. So before we step into the ADC architecture, here's a very general overview of different type of ADCs. And this architecture is just, this topology is actually, just comparison actually valid for low to medium bandwidth applications and for high resolution applications only. So it's a very generic overview just to give an idea where we stand. And if you look, we have different types of architectures here for ADCs like flash, pipeline, successive approximation register, and sigma delta ADC. And they have been compared for different parameters like throughput, resolution, latency, power, and area. And for low to medium bandwidth applications and high resolution, you'll find that sigma delta ADCs are one of the most suitable architectures that we can have. And so in our case, we are actually targeting like for wireless LAN approximation of like 9.5 megahertz bandwidth and 11 bit effective number of bits. So before we step into the ADC, look into the ADC architecture, there are some critical implementation choices that we need to decide. And two of the definitions that we have is for oversampling ratio, which is defined as a ratio of sampling frequency over twice the signal bandwidth. Now, what's the importance of this number is that higher the OSR, you'll find that you can get a higher to signal to noise ratio. But at the same time, for wider bandwidth applications, it means that we need a higher sampling frequency as well. Because if FB is increasing, it's causing FS to increase as well. So here in this design, the focus is more on minimizing the power rather than maximizing the speed. And so that's the reason we'll select a low OSR of only 8 for this design. Another question that we want to answer is, how low can we push a gain of the op amp? Like, is it viable to use like around 10, a gain, op amp gain of 10 or 20? And so we'll explore like, is 26 dB gain op amp feasible? Generally, like for sigma delta applications, the gains are in the range of like 50 to 70 dB, which is harder to achieve as we reduce or scale down the supply voltages. So we'll see that if such a gain is, if it introduce gain and pole errors in the system, can we calibrate them digitally? And can the whole process be power and area efficient? So before we step, so here's like a very simple brief overview of a second order sigma delta ADC topology. So a sigma delta ADC, it can be just classified in terms of, it's a two input, one output system. So these are like two discrete time sampled inputs, and then you get an output over here. And it can be represented in terms of two transfer functions called as signal transfer function STF of A and noise transfer function NTF of A. So we'll come to this output later in a brief while. So if you look into the right side here, it's a topology which is called as a feed-forward topology. Now let's walk through it. Here's the input, which is X of Z. You take the output of the summer, and you give it to the two integrators, integrator 1 and integrator 2. Let's ignore the epsilon of G and epsilon P errors for time being. So this is, there, since there are two integrators, it's called as a second order system. We take the output of the summer and we sum all the outputs here, and we give it to a 4-bit quantizer or a 4-bit flash ADC. And the output of the ADC is then fed back to a digital to analog comparator, converter, which is then summed at the input over here. So there are two critical advantages of this topology for our purpose. As you can see from the signal swings here, on the y-axis is the range of amplitude that we are having, and the x-axis is just a time scale. So you see that the outputs V1 and V2 have very small signal swings, which means that it reduces the requirements for the integrators that we have in terms of power, and it also reducing the swing requirements helps us in reducing the distortion requirements from the entire system. So that's one of the critical advantages of having a feedforward topology. And the second advantage is that if you compute the transfer function from the input of the quantizer to the output of the second integrator, we'll find that the transfer function is just a quantization noise delayed by 2. So we'll see what's the advantage of this feature in the next slide. But these are the two things that's very important. And so for this system, we can analyze the signal transfer function, which is the transfer function from the input to the output, to be unity in this case, and the noise transfer function to be a high pass function given by a second order 1 minus z inverse square. So if we write it in an LTI form, we find that y of z, the output, can be written in superposition of two terms, x of z multiplied by the signal transfer function. So what it implies is that the input goes to the output without any filtering, and the quantization noise is now filtered by a second order high pass function. So you can think of this as like it basically pushes the in-band quantization noise to the output, to the out of band, and in that process it increases the resolution of the ADC. So the next question that we have to answer is this system sufficient for our requirement of realizing an 11-bit SNR or SNDR? So the thing is, like, this system with an OSR of 8 can realize a 9-bit SNR. So we need an additional 2 bits. So what should we do? So what we do here is we go into a topology which is called as cascade sigma delta ADC. So it's very simple. Like, we take the system from the previous slide. We add another similar block to it. And when we do that, what we do is at the input of this second stage, we'll just take the output Q of N, Z minus 2 from the previous stage, and add it to the input of the second stage. Now, if we do a little bit more of mathematics here, and if we add two digital filters, STF2D, which actually matches the analog signal transfer function of the second stage, and the NTF1D, which matches the noise transfer function of the first stage, and we sum the output here, Y of Z, then after doing some math, which we'll go now, we'll find that we can get a higher order of noise shaping, which implies a higher resolution. So once, let's just finish the system here. And so once we get this output, this is just a decimation filter, and it decimates down by 8. As you can see, it's a 3-stage filter. The first is a cascade integrator comb filter, which decimates by 2, followed by a half-band polyphase filter. Again, decimates by 2, followed by a sync FIR compensation filter. The reason it's split into 3 stages is just to optimize the power for different frequencies. So let's look into the summation here. And what we see here is that the input signal, x of z, it sees just a signal transfer function. And as we saw in the previous slide, the signal transfer function is unity. So the signal x of z goes to the output with a unity transfer function. The second term here, which is the first stage quantization noise, assuming this is an ideal system, we'll find that if we assume that NTF1 of A is equal to NTF1 of D, and STF2 of D is equal to STF2 of A, this term cancels out. And so there's no quantization noise, the first stage quantization noise doesn't come to the output. The third component, which is Q2 of Z, sees a fourth order transfer function here. And it effectively means that now we are able to noise shape by a fourth order. So it's a good thing in the sense that we can just take two stable second order systems, put them together, and get a higher order or higher order noise shaping, which implies a higher SNR. But the disadvantage of this system is for low gain integrated design, It will introduce mismatch between the analog transfer function and the digital transfer function here. So how does that come to the output? So as we see here, like for a very high gain op-amp, we see that the noise floor of our the noise floor of the system is dominated by thermal noise. So over here on the x-axis, this is the signal band from 0 to 10 megahertz. And on the y-axis is the power spectral density in dB. So right now, we can see that for a very large gain, it's dominated by thermal noise. But as the gain reduces to 26 dB, the quantization noise starts to dominate the performance. And on the right side, we see why that's the reason. So we see that the approximation that we came across earlier, 1 minus z inverse square, it's no longer true because the analog side, it's become an IR filter now because of the lesser gain. And the gain and the pole errors cause the system transfer function to vary. So what happens is the quantization noise of the first stage leaks to the output and it reduces has an impact on our performance. So what we do is we take the help of LMS algorithm to regain or recover the performance impact that we have. So I'll go through in the detail in the blocks for the blocks in the next slide. But in this slide, we just want to get a general overview of what we want to do. So what we do is we deactivate the input and we inject a 32-bit pseudo-random number sequence, which is generated on-chip from a linear feedback shift register. At the same time, we inject the sequence to a set of FIR filters, STF-2D and NTF-1D. The output of this FIR filter is compared with the analog output Y1 of Z and Y2 of Z. And then we use the LMS algorithm to calibrate the digital filter coefficients. So to summarize it, we are actually using an assigned data LMS algorithm for a lesser, because it's one of the most easiest to implement on hardware and most efficient. And it's a familiar algorithm where we compute the next state of the coefficient from the previous state and mu is the adaptation size, En is the error that we are getting between the desired and the required signal, and we're taking the sign of the calibration sequence. So the way this algorithm works is it iteratively, recursively operates till it finds that the error is minimized in the LMS sense, and the coefficients is actually corresponds to the noise transfer function or the signal transfer function that we expect on the analog side. So after a long idle calibration, we'll see that the digital signal transfer function is same as the analog one, and for both the STF and the NTF of the system. So here is much more detailed of how we implement the filters. So we inject the 32-bit pseudorandom sequence at the input here. It's given through an 8-step FIR filter. The output of this FIR filter, which is then compared with the output that we see Y1 and Z and Y2 of Z. And the error is then given to an LMS algorithm, and the coefficients are then adaptively calibrated. So to reduce the truncation errors in the FIR filters, we use an 8-tap FIR filter. But one disadvantage that this system can have is that even for low OSR applications, we are actually sampling the system at a sampling frequency of nearly 150 to 200 megahertz. So what it causes is that even though we have a very low power analog front end, because now we are using very simple amplifiers and optimizing it, the power consumption in the digital backend is actually approximately three times if you do a brute force approach as compared to the front end. So what should we do? How should we bring signal processing techniques here to make sure that we get a good efficient system? So what we do here is, in the conventional approach that we just talked about right now, we are using a noise cancellation filter also, which is same as, which is basically called the NTF and the STF of D. We are calling them as NCF. And we are basically using the LMS algorithm as we talked about in the previous slide. The output, once calibrated, is given to a decimation filter later on. So in the proposed approach, what we do is we use polyphase techniques to do a convolution of the noise cancellation filter, the NTF or the STF functions that we have, and the decimation filter that we have, and get a polyphase equivalent filter over here. Then we do the same process where we inject the pseudo-random number sequence, we get the desired signal, and we inject the output of the analog stage, and we make sure that it sees the same transfer function, and then compare both the stages and do an LMS calibration here. Now, this approach is very similar to what you do in sub-band adaptive filtering. But one critical point to note here is that we are using oversampling in this case. So using the oversampling, it helps us to reduce the aliasing effect, and it helps us to ensure that the Y1 of Z, which we use to basically decimate, is not a very aggressive anti-aliasing filter, and it just has to be a very minimal filter. And so that this approach for oversampling case does work very well. So here's the proposed quarter-rate LMS system that we have, and it's a similar system that we showed in the earlier slide where we inject the pseudorandom sequence here. We decimate it, and we pass it to the polyphase equivalent filter, take the output. At the same time, we take the output of the analog front-end, pass it through the say for a quarter-rate LMS, we are decimating by 4, so we pass it through a decimation of 4, run it through the LMS algorithm, take the error, and compute the coefficients. So if we do that for both the paths over here, and we finally get whatever the coefficients we require. So good thing about this is we found out that we implemented it in a Simulink HDL using the HDL coder, which means that we can reiterate it and optimize it based on the whole system within a very short time. It does have a small area overhead because of the increase in the number of taps of E1Z to EMZ, but most of the taps can be switched off, and it can be easily optimized when we do an RTL or ASIC implementation. We find that the power decreases by nearly 30% in this case. The calibration points, the number of data points that we require, are pretty much the same for all the different techniques. So here's a proposed sigma delta system that we have, where we have the analog front end, where we see that using the low gain op amps introduces some gain and pole errors, which causes a mismatch in the analog and digital transfer functions. And here's the different flavors of the backend that we have implemented on an FPGA. And we compare the conventional LMS scheme with the polyphase by 2 and the polyphase by 4 quarter rate LMS scheme. So here's a measured signal to noise ratio in SFDR after decimation. So without any without any calibration, we find that the signal to noise ratio SNDR has actually dropped to around 56.7 dB. After calibration, we see that all the three schemes give you around an SNDR of around 11 bits of 67 dB, 66.2 dB, and the 66.6 dB. So here's the measured specs with calibration. Sampling frequency, we are using a sampling frequency of 150 megahertz. Power consumption in the analog front end is around 31.5 millivolts. Power supply voltage is 1.25 volts, and core chip area of 1.73 millimeters square. And this has been implemented in 130 nano CMOS process. Here's a comparison with similar works. A couple of things to note here is the first integrator gain. So we use like a gain of 26 dB. With just a power consumption of 2 milliamps, which can be further optimized. The rest of the power consumption is in the clock divider, the reference buffers, and actually in the quantizer as well. And I think this number can be really optimized to less than 10 milliwatts for a 45 nanometer design from our projections. As compared to the other works, we see that we have a significant power savings for the analog front end. For the digital back end, we do a approximate analysis of finding the power for the FPGA as compared to an ASIC. And we use a reference where it says that equivalent power consumption in an ASIC can be nearly 14 times smaller as compared to an FPGA. And we come up with this projections of around 54 milliwatts with no polyphase. And with the polyphase, we get around 38 milliwatts of power savings. But this can be further optimized, as I said earlier. So we do incur an area overhead because of some filters that we have to put to match the delays. So here's the final conclusion for my talk. We demonstrated the use of 26 dB gain op amps in sigma delta ADCs. We use LMS calibration algorithm to recover from the gain errors, and we have proposed some signal processing techniques which uses like multi-rate, half-rate, and quarter-rate LMS polyphase calibration schemes. And we find that using these decomposition schemes, it helps us in reducing a power consumption, especially for high frequency and wide bandwidth applications. So thank you. And if you have any questions, please let me know.
OK, any question from the audience?
Yes, please.
Yes. In one of your slides, you said that there is a power reduction of 30%.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, I mean, 30% compared to what? I mean, since because you're adding LMS blocks, and so those blocks must take some power. So yeah, what are you comparing it with?
Compare with the conventional scheme, with the venues
that have LMS that has an LMS as well.
Yeah. Okay. And now you're moving the LMS to a decimated frequency.
Yeah, that's why
it uses less. The whole system can save you some substantial power.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, please.
I don't know if I saw on your tables if you had energy per conversion step figure of merit.
Yeah, I would say I think the overall emphasis in this project has been on a co-design between the analog and digital backend. So if you compare the current figure of merits with the current architectures for just the analog front end that we have, it's actually not as good as it's in the ballpark, but it's not as good as the best ones in there. But the main emphasis here is how can you really implement a digital backend when you have a very cheap analog front end in there.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Gupta.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on.